Get snacking and get cracking with a snack that packs a protein punch. Pistachios are known for their protein power, fiber, and better-for-you unsaturated fats for a combination that may help you keep feeling fuller longer. Wonderful Pistachios is a good source of protein with zero guilt. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. I love that they come in a variety of sizes and flavors, making this the perfect protein snack for any on-the-go adventure. Check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
All right, we are back on the Flow Track podcast. This is the Monaco recap episode. I'm Kevin. He is Gordon. We're going to talk about Shelly and Fraser Price dropping another 10.6. Faith Kipyegon just missing the world record. Noah Lyles, a dominant performance, and all the other highlights from the meet. Gordon, good afternoon. How are you?
It's good. I'm doing good. It's nice having these back-to-back podcasts that are not at 9 a.m. I've been able to sleep in a bit. It's been nice. Did a noon podcast on Monday. Did a 3 o'clock podcast today. It's nice. What time did you wake up today?
7 o'clock.
Okay.
6:30.
Dad, I forgot about that.
I'm not sure. Makes sense. But it is weird to have all these meets back to back to back to back because everyone's putting up that, you know, that Shelly and Fraser Price stat where she's gone 10.66, 10.67, and now a 10.62, all within the past week, basically. But there's been that many opportunities to run fast because you've had two Diamond Leagues in a week, a really fast Continental Tour over that same stretch of time. And a lot of these athletes just feel like, you know, this is their time, right? This is their time to run the fast time. This is the time to get that post-Worlds race that they wanted or chase that PR. This is that opportunity. And I guess we should start with Fraser Price. You kind of called this one. You said she had another good one left in her, and she certainly did. 10.62, her second fastest time in history, and did it amidst a really fast race, one of the deepest races of all time, because Sharika Jackson, second in 10.71, Tolu, third in 10.72. You go even deeper here. You know, sixth place was 10.91. This was a remarkably fast race. But at the top was Fraser Price again. We said this was her best race or the best season of her career, even before today. You add on her running the second fastest time of her career now. So there's no doubt about it. This is the best race of Fraser Price's or the best season of Fraser Price's career. Excuse me. Just a remarkable run. Just a remarkable run again for her. I think the rest of the track and field season should just be Fraser Price seeing how long she can run 10.6s for. We should have one meet a week from now until whenever she can't do it. Just keep going. A meet a week. We all congregate on the internet and we watch.
I mean, this is wild to look at this. Her past four races are 10.67, 10.66, 10.67, 10.62, with the most three recent of those four races, all within a five-day span. August 6th, 10.6. Mm-hmm. August 8th, 10.6. August 10th, 10.6. That's an incredible five-day span for a 100-meter runner. There was not a single, like, slow one. It was all consistently all-time elite. It's just incredible. I reacted to her after Salisa Diamond League, being like, this is nuts. She's going to give us at least one more. And she does it again 2 days later. I was like, she's going to give at least one more. I'm going to say it again. She's going to do something. I think we still have yet to see the special of the ultimate special. I think she's going to run something crazy in the Diamond League final. Like, that's what I'm looking towards. I think sometime in September, early September, late August, she's going to give us at least one more because she's given us no reason not to expect more. She just did it three times in 5 days. Mm-hmm. What's another one? You know,
it's pretty similar to last year. If you look at last year when she ran and beat Thompson Hurrah in Lausanne, and that ended up being, you know, a really fast race for her when she ran. I mean, that was her PB, I believe, right? In Lausanne? Yeah, 10.60. She ran well in Chorzów. Like, she got a bunch of wins post Olympics. Yes, she lost to Thompson Hurrah when Thompson Hurrah went nuts at pre, but like she's good at this. She's really good at managing her races throughout the year. She's good at the one-offs. You know, some people are better in championships because they need the rounds to get going. Fraser-Pryce is obviously well-equipped at that too, but she's also good at just one race, one and done, and just dropping these 10 sixes. So, yeah, I really do think we need a race every week with Fraser-Pryce running 10-6 or faster.
Yeah, I mean, how many more opportunities are there? There's at least 2 to 3, right?
Well, yeah.
Do you think she's like at this moment now? She runs close to her PB, runs another dominant win in 10:62. Where do you think she is mentally? Do you think she's still mentally on the track of "I ain't done yet," or do you think she's now closing the door on the season in her mind? Like, because there's really nothing else for her to do. Like, do you think she's still motivated to like see if she can squeak out one more incredible performance?
I think she wants a sub 10:6, and I think she'll seek that out as long as her body feels right. And she's yet to, we're still searching for that 2.0. I mean, today was the plus 0.4 wind. Is obviously a fast race because you look at the performances behind her. It wasn't a huge margin of victory in this race, so this one was quick, but she still hasn't got, you know, the tip top perfect conditions, and maybe that never happens because that's rare. But I think she wants sub 10:6. I think she wants a PB, and I think she wants to be in that 10:5 club. And who wouldn't? Can you blame her?
Can't blame her. And I think she has a realistic shot at getting it. I mean, 10:62 plus 0.4. Yeah, you add another 1.6 to that. That probably converts to at least a sub 10:60, right? What's a 10:62 plus 0.4 converting? I'm going to do some 100-meter wind conversions with this guy here. I'm going to put it. So she ran what? 10:62, right? With 0.4 wind. Altitude, we're just going to assume altitude is 0.
Monaco? It's Monaco altitude.
Monaco altitude. What's the Monaco altitude?
Pretty close to 0.
Okay, so that... Okay, what would that... I don't know how to do this. Hold on. Oh, and I switched this to women.
Yeah, you don't need to do all that. It's going to be fast. Don't worry about it. All right, so she's got Lausanne in 2 weeks that she could run. And she's got the Diamond League finals after that. As I mentioned, Lausanne is where her PB came from. But, yeah, it's 2 more weeks out on the circuit in Europe. I mean, I don't know if she wants to do it, but the opportunities are there for her. Just 2 weeks is a long time in a track season. You see people go from being sharp to not that sharp or not that sharp to running fast times over the course of 2 weeks. So I would love to see it. At least 2 more shots. It would be the cherry on top of the season. Even if she goes there and doesn't even run by her standards a fast time, just to close out this season. Because then it would go down as one of the greatest seasons of all time in the sport. Just when you look at her top performances and what she's been able to accomplish. Because she's been showing up to all these meets too.
Yeah.
It's not a situation where she runs 4 times a year. And then that's it. She's racing frequently and running fast.
Yeah.
All right. Well, someone, let's see. Okay. Yeah. So Jackson, PB, 10:71. Talu, PB and an African record, 10:72. Hobbs equaled her PB, 10:81. I think I saw somewhere, you can look up the fastest times by places. I think it was the fastest, like 3rd place, 4th place, and I think 6th place. With Daryl Nada's 10:91 for 6. It was deep. I mean, it reminded me of the Lausanne race last year, just in terms of, now that one was really top heavy because you had both Fraser-Pryce and Elaine Thompson are all running in the 10:6s, but it was just a remarkably deep race. And I don't know about you, but when you saw those other people closer, you're thinking, well, wait, what's this time going to be? Like, this wasn't Fraser-Pryce in those last 2 outings where she won by these huge margins. They were right there. So, yes, she's the main story, but there's a lot of women running really fast right now, which is exciting.
Yeah. Leah Hobbs, tying her PB. good for her. Mm-hmm. She kind of didn't have the best, you know, worlds that she wanted. I'm sure she was hoping to get a medal. It was going to be hard to get a medal, though, with Jamaica. But, you know, again, it's always good to, like, rebound from your high expectations with, you know, equaling a PB or getting close to a PB. So that's always good for her. And I'm sure she's going to motivate her going into 2023.
Yeah. Yeah. So, again, I think when you look at what she has left to achieve in the sport, a lot of it is just attached to making the PB faster. That's why I would think she might try to keep going. But 2 weeks is a long time, so we shall see. Let's jump over to the 15, the women's 15, Oof. Which we knew Faith Kipyegon was capable of putting down this sort of time. She's run in the neighborhood, but this was just a bona fide world record attempt. And it was cool to see her get after it from the gun, having pacers, having very well qualified pacers. Like, you have Allie Wilson and Adele Tracy there, both like capable, you know, elite level women on their own right. And that's the sort of people you need in place to get Faith Kipyegon in the position to potentially get a world record. Wilson goes out 59.8. They go through 800, 201. Kipyegon is at 1200 at 304. It looked like, okay, she's slowing down there. She hit 63 for that third lap. But then she comes back. Her final 400 was 61.2 is what I have. And she was just a narrow miss there. Yeah, she needed a 350.0. She goes 350.37. So number two all time. Another sensational performance for Faith Kipyegon. I've said it. She didn't even need this performance to affirm that she's the greatest women's miler of all time. I think that record is going to come. Obviously, if she has more competition, it would help, but there's just not anybody out here who can run that fast because it's the world record. I remember when Genzebe Dibaba did it, right? Chanel Price did a great job rabbiting, and Safwan Hassan just like latched on and tried to give it a whirl for as long as she could. So she gave Dibaba some company, but you're really going to have to run the last 300 to 400 of this by yourself in most cases. That's just how it's going to be. So I hope she gets another shot at it, just because the depth of her, like, you pull up Faith Kipyegon's top 10 performances now in the 1500. It is crazy. Like, looking at her top 10 in this event. I mean, she's been really consistent. This is the PB, but by no means do I think she's done in terms of improving her time.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think she's done either. It did give me memories of Dibaba's attempt when she broke it back in 2015. It was. I was there. That was fun. Crowd was going wild for it. And I was like, oh, we might see this again. Comes up just short, but, you know, you like that she went for it. She's, you know, she's fit, and she tried to push the body as far as she can go. And it's always, it's great. It's like one of those things where you just always want to know, like, what is your true max? We know that you can win any race you're given. We know you're the best in the world. What are you when everything is as perfect as possibly can be? And Monaco does a good job for certain races for that, especially the men's 1500 and the women's 1500 or the mile. And Kipyegon was so close. I think 349 is coming. Eventually it's going to happen. I think it's going to happen within the next 2 to 3 years. So I think Kipyegon, if Safwan Hassan gets back into peak shape, I think there could be a 349 on the horizon.
So this is the top 10, or this is her all-time. 350.3, 351, 352, 352, 353, 353, and 353. I mean, and a lot of those came in championship races, right? A lot of those came when there were no rabbits and there was a medal on the line, and she was still able to bust out a fast time. So it's not as if she's been taking a crack at the world, like, her only fast times have come in these setup world record attempts. She's able to run fast even when there's not everything. You know, we make a big deal out of the lights and stuff, but I mean, and the pacers, but she ran, what did she run in Eugene? 352.9? You know, she can do it on her own. But I think sub 350 is coming. for Kip Yeagon. It's just a matter of trying to get all the pieces together. But that was so close, you know. If they go out maybe a fraction slower, instead of going out in 59, they're going out a tiny bit slower. Like you can find a couple tenths of a second in a 1500 meter race in a bunch of different spots. So you run that race back a couple other times, she's going to get it about 50% of the time, I think. The problem is there's magic in Monaco, and the meet only happens once a year. Unless
there's actual magic. There's magic.
Well, unless you know, we do the Fraser Price race until she can't run 10.6 anymore, and then we also do the Faith Kip Yeagon until she gets the world record race. There's a two event meet at Monaco every Friday.
Every Friday, 7 p.m. local time.
Whatever today is, let's just keep going. I just love watching her run. It's so much fun to watch her run because if it's a record attempt, she goes for it all out. If it's racing for the gold medal, she's going obviously all out. She's not playing any tactical games. It's just fun to watch her put herself on the line.
What would have been your reaction if I told you in this race that was going to be fast with Kip Yeagon winning that the fourth American in the race was going to be Sinclair Johnson? Would you have believed that?
Yeah, that was a bit surprising. But if you said Johnson was going to run 4:02, maybe I would have believed you because this one was all the attention was on Kip Yeagon, as it should have been. You didn't even see the second race. And then I'm watching as they come through. You're trying to do the math in your head. Hey, how fast did that second group run? Well, it turns out Heather McLean comes across 3:58. She sets a PB. She gets second. And Cranny gets third, also in a PB with 3:59. So you have two American women. I guess McGee ran 4 flat too. So, but you had two American women getting PBs out of this race. It's hard to run fast in a race like that just because one person is taking up so much of the pacemaking that's out there. And anybody who tries to go with is probably going to fall back. But two more sub-4 American women.
Yeah, I mean, we thought, you know, with Shelby being out of the picture for the next 4 years, like, how will the women's 1500 kind of maintain, like, consistency with, you know, elite women at the top? You know, Elle Puryear, St. Pierre, she kind of was the person we were looking to. Sinclair Johnson was coming on. But now, Heather McLean, who made the Olympics last year, but didn't even make the team this year, is running 3:58. And when athletes who aren't even making your team, your world team, are able to go out to Diamond League level meets and get second place in them, is a good sign for the health of that event in your country. Because now you got to consider Heather McLean as a factor. Still got to consider Sinclair Johnson. Still got to consider Corey McGee. You got to consider St. Pierre. You got to consider at least Cranny if she decides to dabble in the 1500. Same thing with Krisha Schweizer. You know, it's just like the depth is staying intact, which is exciting for the future of the event for the U.S. women.
All right, let's go to the men's 200, where Noah Lyles ripped around the curve, never looked back, ran 19.46, meet record. Arian Knighton second, 19.84. Michael Norman, 19.95. You know the story that Lyles was telling? I think he told it at USA's, how he was on his way to go eat, and then he found out about Arian Knighton's 19.49 in April, and then he said, let's turn the car around. We got to go train. You know, whenever I heard that story, I was like, you know, that's a great story, right? That's awesome. But, you know, sometimes you kind of build those things up when you retell them. I now 100% believe every part of that story for Noah Lyles because he is rolling. He is absolutely rolling right now. And it would make sense that, you know, maybe he took inspiration from how fast his competition was running. But you take what he did at USA's, obviously what he did at the World Championships, and now what he did here in Monaco. I mean, 19.5 was his PB going into the year. And he's ripped off a 19.3 and now a 19-4 with a huge margin of victory. A huge margin of victory.
Yeah. Well, before we go into this race specifically, did you see the quote that he had in the press conference?
Before or after?
Before.
No, I didn't. What did he say?
Give me a month and the world record will be in my sight.
In my sight? That sounds like a Gordon Mack hedge right there. In my sight. That sounds like something you would say. They might
find
be
the exact
possibly
quote. What's the exact quote?
In the mix. Yeah, you got to actually get the quote here.
Noah Lyles world record. Whoa, I'm Googling right now.
More good Googling.
I'm not going to find it. I should have came more prepared. Cole, can you find it? God dang it. I'm ruining the clip. But he said, I think that's what he said. He said, give me a month.
Clip's over.
And I'll have the world record in my sight.
What's the quote? You can't say it might be
that's
the quote.
That's the quote. That's the quote. Check Diamond League Instagram. Diamond League, this is getting out.
I'm gonna turn my camera off so I'm not associated with this. Let me see if I can do this. There we go.
What do you mean turn your camera off?
You can still hear me though, right? Cole, keep my audio on. All right, good. I just don't want to be associated with this part of the show. You can't bring up a quote and then not have the quote.
I know. Someone in the chat knows the quote. Someone in the chat, help me out. How about your boy?
Now you're just reaching for a lifeline here.
No, he said this. I was doing my due diligence. I was doing research. He said this. God dang it. I thought you were paying attention. What are you doing? Come on.
Me? I'm preparing for what I'm going to talk about. And if I have a quote, I want to know the exact quote. People are saying you're right, but what's the quote? Because you're the one who introduced all the uncertainty into it. You said he might have said this.
No, there is no uncertainty. He said it. Just
okay. All right. I believe you. I believe you. It just would have been helpful to have the exact quote.
Okay. Give me a month and the world record will be in my sights. That's the quote. August 9th. Okay. Boom. I found it.
Okay. Great. All right. But in my sights. In my sights? Isn't it already kind of in his sights?
I don't know. Last time I said a world record is in potential coming within a time period, I got roasted. So let's see if Usain Bolt makes 1 month 20, what after 21. A month from now.
Yeah, exactly. 1 month what doesn't sound as good as 24 what. I think 24 is much better. I mean, it doesn't surprise me that he would say that. What's he going to say? I'm going to get slower? No, of course he's going to go for it. It's great. I just think he's rekindled, you know, the form that he had before and then in the beginning part of the season. And then now he's far exceeded it. Like he's gone up another level entirely. When you look at, again, what he did at USA's and how he did at USA's, what he did at Worlds, not just in the final Worlds, but in the semi, setting that thing up. And then now in Monaco, like he is rolling right now. So yes, I hope he races again. I hope he gets an opportunity to run fast. You know, maybe let's see, Blake's time sitting out there, 19.26. Maybe he can shave 0.05 off of his time and go to number two all time. Who knows?
I mean, I think he's ready to rip a fast one in a month at the Diamond League final. I think that's what he's focusing on. And if his new baseline now is 9.4s and 9.5s potentially, you know, it makes when it's all perfectly together, peak form, great weather, maybe he does enter the 9-teens. Not my quote though. Don't aggregate that and everyone get mad at me because I'm really good at angering the internet lately. Did you see that?
Let me read the quote.
Everyone is mad.
So, hold on.
Everyone is a big Christian Coleman fan apparently. Everyone thinks Christian Coleman is the greatest runner that's ever lived and no one will ever beat him except for, you know, Fred Curley and, you know, Omanyala can beat him. Oh, and, you know, okay. Enough.
All right. I just wanted to read the quote. Sounds like you're having some issues over there. Because Preston looked up the whole quote, and I want to read it. I was telling people how quote. I didn't think that my peak was going to show at Worlds. I've been saying, give me a month, and the world record will be in my sights. So thank you, Preston, for looking up the exact
Thanks, quote. Preston.
Okay. Do you want to talk more about the 200, or do you want to move on to another topic?
I was bummed that Kenny Bednarik wasn't in the race. He was supposed to be, but the injury that he got in Hungary didn't allow him to do it, because then we could have had the Michael Norman versus Kenny B debate. Norman, he didn't run that well. He got third, but like no one really ran well outside of Noah Lyles. So third place in this race, I think, is what I would expect from him, because Lyles and Knighton are the two of the best 200-meter runners in the world, so based on their times. So I do think, though, Norman, if like he, you know, had a couple more 200s under his belt, could run with Knighton at least. You know, he's not going to touch Lyles, but he could run with Knighton.
All right. Fair enough. Let's keep moving. Men's 3,000? You want to jump over to the distance side of things?
Yeah, it's flip-flop, boom, back, here and there. Men's 3,000. Yeah. They were going for a world record, and I was like, really?
Yeah.
Why are we doing this? What's going on?
There's world record attempts, and there's world record attempts. And especially in the distance side of things, it's so easy to call something. Well, it's true, though. Right? It gets hyped, and then you can stay on pace for one-third of the race. And in a distance race, sometimes that's a long time, and people can just say world record over and over again. But, I mean, Coleman's mark is legit. I mean, an hour ago, we paid the price. He went out hard and then faded, got caught by Thierry Ndiko Mwayu of Burundi, who ran 7:25.93. I mean, fast time. Don't get me wrong. Fast. And that's part of the reason why I don't like when there's just so much world record, stuff, is because then they run like the number four time in history or something. And everyone's like, oh, disappointment out in Monaco. And that was a great race. And it ended up being a pretty exciting last 100. On the American side of things, Grant Fisher breaks Bernard Lagat's record, American record, and goes 7:28.48. So Fisher's picking up a lot of records over the last 9 months or so.
I know. That's what I'm thinking about. You think about the indoor 5K, the outdoor 10K. Now you have this outdoor 3K. Getting three records, right, this year alone? Three American records?
Yeah, the 10, the 5, and the 3.
And 3. Okay. Could you say that this is the best shape Grant Fisher will ever be in his career this year?
Wait, the best shape he'll be in his career this year?
No. Do you think this year, when all is said and done, when we look back on his career, however long it is, that the 2022 season where he broke the 5K, 10K, and 3K American records was his optimal peak shape? We lost Kevin. There you go.
No, I'm optimal. Here. Sorry, my kid walked in the room. No, I think he can get.
You
faster.
Don't think so?
No, I think get.
Because I think it potentially could be his best fitness year, and if that's true, it makes you look at his two finishes in the world 10K and the world 5K as like, man, was this his best shot? Was this the year for him to actually get the medal? And is it only going to get harder from here on out?
Yeah, but it doesn't really matter. It's like he could be in a little bit worse shape next year, but the way the last 400 meters breaks differently and he gets silver or wins a thing. He was in the mix. I think he's in the area now where he's going to, if he stays in that vicinity, he's going to get a medal just based on the fact that it, a lot of that stuff just breaks down to on the day. And if he keeps being in the mix, he's going to get a medal eventually. But there's no reason to believe this year he'd be vastly superior than what he can do next year, the year after. He's still pretty young.
Yeah. Would you, if you're Fisher, would you rather have these three records or one bronze medal?
Medal.
In 2022.
Medal.
Medal?
Yeah.
I think I would rather have the three records. Three records is
the records. The records is cool, but you can't wear your records. You can wear your medal.
Who wears a freaking medal? Come on. No one wears a medal.
I would. I would have shown would wear up to your the Wild medal. Duck. I would have shown up to the Wild Duck with my medal.
With the medal around your neck?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not cool, and I don't care. So I would have been like, this is amazing. They gave me a medal right after I finished. Did you guys see that? Over at Hayward Field over there? I got a world championship medal.
I don't think you would. I don't think you would walk around with the medal around your neck.
No, I 100% would.
No, you wouldn't.
A world championship medal?
You wouldn't
medal?
Need to. People would know who you were without the medal, and people would know that you wouldn't won care. Or got top three or whatever.
Do you know how cool it must feel to be top three in the world in something? Just anything. And with track, you have a physical marker of acknowledging. Like the third best guy in accounting in the world doesn't walk around with an accounting medal. They don't give those out.
You actually,
know, even in basketball or football, they don't get the third best wide receiver doesn't get to walk around with a medal. Track is in a unique place where you get this physical marker of where you stand. So I would absolutely put it on display.
You said there's not medals for accounting. The other day, ESPN2 was live streaming an Excel World Championships where they had the
Are
best people who do Excel vMix lookups, all that like Excel competitions. And they were live streaming
pivot
that. So pivot okay. tables, all that good stuff, filters. So you
well,
might be able to get a
medal,
in accounting.
And they're definitely wearing a medal.
They're
Colt,
wearing
would you wear a
medal
around? Colt, you're an impartial observer. Would you wear a medal?
I don't know. I kind of on Gordon's side for this one, I think. I think I agree with you, Kevin, that yes, you, Kevin, would wear the medal if you got one.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. What if you were the third best improv comedian in Texas?
So shameful. So shameful. I would definitely not wear that.
You wouldn't want
like,
to.
I just don't even think like I bet you Michael Phelps only puts on one of his medals when he's asked to do it. I don't think he's ever put
he's
on
a million
his medal
of them.
Voluntarily.
There's a million of them, and they're cool. They're used to winning. I'm talking about me, not used to winning. It would be awesome. Grant Fisher, of course, wouldn't do it. The reason why I would take the medal over the records, right, though, is the permanence of it. Someone could come along next year. Like Woody Kincaid could break some of those records, or Abdelhamid Nur could come along and break some of those records. And then like, can you name the top five right now in the men's 10,000 all time?
Rupp is probably
it
there.
Very quickly changes. It's cool for a moment. And if you happen to have a record that lasts, it's awesome. But there's no guarantee that it's going to last. And then you just became a name on a list, basically. Fast name on a list, but that's what you are. All right, let's move on. Men's high hurdles. Redemption for Grant Holloway. 12.99 too. Set a season's best here in a fast race. Again, I think the story of this meet, Gordon, was depth across the board. And a lot of these, especially these sprint races. But Holloway, he had the issue with the final two hurdles in his last meet in Hungary. This time, he holds off the field and goes 12.99 seconds. Again, hadn't been under 13 this season. So that's one of the fastest times of his career. Trey Cunningham right there, 13.03, and then Hanschel Parchment third in 13.08.
Yeah, I mean, this is what Grant Holloway was capable of. I don't think either of you ever thought that his upset was a sign of a downturn, that was more of a blip. And I still think he is waiting to give us at least one 12.8 attempt. You know, whether it's going to be a fast 12.8 and flirt with the world record, or a slow 12.8 and be like a 12.88.89.
Yeah.
We'll see, but he's coming in the form. He's the best hurdler in the world. No, but he just gets upset sometimes. That's just who he is. He's the best who occasionally loses. That's Grant Holloway. Unless it's the indoor 60, he ain't losing.
That's what I'm saying. As opposed to the indoor hurdles when he never loses, never has lost, and we are sure that he never will lose again. It is weird when you contrast it to that. I still think, I mean, because he's running 1281, he's got that other level. It's just a matter of, is he going to be able to pull it out this year? Right? Like, because those last two hurdles, they obviously looked better than the last meet, but I think he's still got, he's done those last two hurdles better before, right? We've all seen him run quicker off those last two. So, and he's also a guy who, the competition is great and it's pushed him to fast times before, but he also ran his 1281 in a semi. So he doesn't really need to have competition to run fast because he gets out of the blocks and he's not really looking around at anybody. He doesn't need to catch up to anybody just by the nature of how he runs those races.
I feel like Grant Holloway might just have the Continental Tour curse because when he's at Diamond Leagues, World Championships, USA Championship-type races, he wins.
Yeah. He's rolling,
and when he's at Continental Tours, like the NYC Grand Prix and the Hungary meet, he gets second.
Interesting.
Stay away from Continental Tours, Grant. That's how he fixes the problem. That's
it. Let's go through the rest of these results. If there's an event you want us to talk about and you're watching live on YouTube, you can put it in the chat as
Love
well.
Chat, thanks for joining, by the way. Appreciate you.
Hello to the chat. They're probably not paying attention to what we're talking about. Women's steeple, that was the last meet. Get at you, 906. Coburn was in the mix there for a while. She ends up getting a season's best, but faded back to fourth in 907. Let's see. Men's three, we talked about. Women's 400, Shawna Miller Weibo just cruised here, 49-28. Candace McLeod, 49-87. So two sub 50s in there, but it was all Miller Weibo.
Kevin.
From the get go.
Do you think Sydney was supposed to be in this race?
Well, there was a 400 hurdle race, so it was either that one.
Or this one.
Or this one, yeah.
Do you think, why do you think, so Sydney was here, she went to the meet, and she was watching it. Has she given a quote why she didn't decide to run?
I did not see a quote of why she didn't run. We talked about this before, though. If she's running the 400 hurdles, it doesn't matter where she's running.
Yeah, no, she's going to be fine, but it would have been nice. I mean, let's just do a little bit of a fantasy and imagination. What do you think would have happened if Sydney was in that 400 with Shawna Miller Weibo, who ran 49.2? It's a good time, good open time.
Yeah.
She probably wanted more. How do you think Sydney would have done in that race? Do you think she would have beat her?
I think she can run faster than 49.2, obviously.
Agreed.
But I also think Shawna Miller Weibo could have ran faster than that if someone was in the race with her. So I think it would have been real close. I think I would probably just give the edge to Miller Weibo in this specific race just because she's been running it more often this year. If this was a year in the future or if we can go back in time and Sydney's like running 400 races to get ready for this. But I would get maybe just a slight edge to Miller Weibo, but it certainly would have been faster.
Yeah. I think Sydney would have won. I would also think it would have been faster. But I'm also like, I don't know. I think I need to like re-examine my brain. Because for some reason,
I think a lot of people would agree with that.
I don't know what it is, but I'm just realizing this right now. Shawna Miller Weibo and Steven Gardner, I always just have like a doubt, like, oh no, they're gonna lose, because I was all on a Paulino beating Shawna at Worlds. That didn't happen.
Yeah,
Stephen Gardner, I was always like in on Norman or whoever else. I was like, oh no, but then Gardner shows up and wins. So there's something about quarter milers from the Bahamas where I'm like doubting them all the time. I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm like, there's something not wired correctly in my head when it comes to elite quarter milers from the Bahamas, because I think Sydney would have beat Shawna Miller Weibo, but maybe I would be completely wrong and that Miller Weibo would beat Sydney, like you said.
I mean, I, I do think there's something wrong in your head. It doesn't particularly specifically refer to this situation, though, and I think most people would agree with me about that. But I don't. I mean, it's a crazy hypothetical, so you can't get mad either way. It's not like an open and shut case of like who would clearly win. I mean, we saw what Sydney does when there's hurdles in the way, and we saw what she did in a 4x4 split. But we also know what Miller Weibo's PB is, and we also know that she won this race going away. It would have been awesome to see it. I wish we would have seen it. My feeling was she was going to – the choice wasn't between a 400-meter hurdle race in Hungary or a open 400 in Monaco. I think it was 400 hurdles in one of the two places, and she chose the one in Hungary. So I think that's what we were going to see regardless. But, yeah, it just – if we never get to see those two, it's gonna be a bummer.
And I don't think it looks we will.
Like that might be the case because Miller Weibo's moving to the other events, so that sucks. Yeah, yep, that's unfortunate. That's a big bummer. All right, it is. It's a bummer.
It is a bummer.
I mean, and it would be great. World Championships, Olympics, it would be great. But also, it just would have been, it's cool in a Diamond League. It just at least give us a Diamond League where they're both going for it. Because it would be fun to see what they could push themselves to do against each other.
Another question for you, Kevin. How's my Sage Herta as a next Kate Grace take looking?
Well, some more and more people are saying it. More and more, but she ran 157. She lost to Natoya Gul. I mean, I guess
women's 800. Cool.
Didn't Kate Grace go on a roll after, you know, late season? Well, she was winning everything. So not, I guess not quite, but she got second, and I'm sure in some of those races. So not quite a full Kate Grace, but yeah, it was a good run for Herta. Gul held on. Pretty quick time, considering you didn't have Mora and Hodgkinson and Thing Mo in there to pull the pace along.
Sage Herta, I think, is the one who's going to be the biggest benefactor of a Thing Mo's world title, because now they get four, so you take Mo off the list. And when you look outside of Rogers and Wilson, I think Herta is the first one in line. Yeah, there's Allie Wilson, there's Baker, there's the young kids who are in college now who might come out and run fast. But yeah, I think Sage Herta is in line to make her first world team in 2023 in the women's 800.
Mm. Still betting big on that. I like it.
I bet big everywhere, man.
Yeah.
Go all in.
It's how you live your life. Okay. We talked about the high hurdles, talked about the women's 15, women's 100.
Men's 1,000.
Oh, men's 1,000. What a classic. I mean, listen, the Monaco Diamond League meet should always have the men's 15 or the men's mile. Like, what are we doing? That should be a staple. Just like there's the Bowerman mile, there's the Dream mile, there's these meets that have to have that distance. Monaco should be one of them. You get Ingebrigtsen, that's, even if you don't, you're going to get somebody to show up and run a fast time. I don't know why we have to do 1,000, and especially we're doing 1,000 in a year where there's not really a captivating 800. This would have been great in Rudisha's prime. If you want to see Rudisha run 1,000, sign me up. That'd be amazing. I'm all for it. Maybe Brazier 2019, prime Brazier. I'm cool. Let's go. Let's have him race against the 1,500-meter champion. That'd be exciting. Timothy Chariot versus Brazier in 1,000. I'm all about it. But like this year of all years, I don't know why we're doing 1,000. I mean, cool. Jake Whiteman won. This race was weird because was Marco Arop the rabbit? They made it sound like he was the rabbit and he was ahead by a whole bunch when the first rabbit stepped off. Looked like he might actually win the race, end up getting passed by Whiteman. I think if he wasn't the rabbit, he could have won because he would have just sat back and could have kicked, but he was out there all by himself. Whiteman was kind of all by himself on an island. I wanted a 1,500. Or a mile.
You know what I said about the men's 800? It's like, it's not good. It's so bad that it's now ruining the appearance of other meets, other races.
Other events, yeah.
The men's 800 sabotaged the Monaco 1500, turned it into a 1K. And then we got, you know, a good time. Like, Whiteman, it's awesome. You know, rebounding from the Commonwealth loss. You know, he's showing that he's still in good form. But he's in a, you know, I'm not going to wake up for the ninth best 1K ever. Like, that doesn't get me up in the morning. What gets me up in the morning is watching, you know, crazy 328 to 326 1500s where everyone is throwing down massive PBs is what you normally would get in a 1500 in Monaco. But, you know,
I just
800 keeps coming for us. Even it's now intruding on other events. Awful.
Well, Whiteman's not an 800 guy. Well, he can do both, but
I know. But the reason why they did the 1K is because all the 800 guys are like, no one wants to watch our race anymore, so we're just going to join the 1500 and call it a 1K. That's what happened.
But how many of those guys were really 800 guys? A-Rop, Murphy, yeah, most Kassassi, of them. Hopple, Josh
Murphy, A-Rop, Kassay. It was a bunch. Rotich.
Josh Thompson. Robert. Thompson was in there, though.
Career was there?
Yeah. Oh, Career was there? He got last?
Got last. It was basically an 800 that they turned into a 1K and added a couple 1,500 meter guys. And the 800 is so bad that the 1,500 meter guys win it. It's like, come on. It's a comical, if they're gonna do a 1K, comical race.
You tell them at the 800 meter mark that it's a 1K. I think that's what you do. Yeah, Sawinski was out there pacing. Again, yeah.
That would be a great idea for a race.
And then when the 800 meter mark, Swinson did a great job. And then A-Rop was just by himself. And then there was a huge gap. And there was Whiteman who was by himself. It was a weird race.
Kevin, you just gave me the greatest idea for the most exciting race to ever happen. You get a bunch of 800 to 3K guys. You don't tell them how long the race is. You just say it's going to be longer than 800. And at the 700 meter mark, you tell them the actual distance that they're running. So you can risk it and hope that it's going to be, you can gamble and be like, oh, I think I'm running a 1K. You can be conservative thinking it's going to be like a mile or a 2K. And so there's a lot of strategy because you're going to risk it. And so how great would it be to see a bunch of runners go out hard and then realize, oh, crap. Like, I'm not going to be able to hold on to this. That'd be fun. I want to see that the unknown race where you find out the distance you're running halfway through the race.
Mystery race.
Might be easier to predict than the actual 800.
What's that?
That's true. There was, he said it might be easier to predict than the actual 800.
Yes. True. Where,
I mean, some of these, yeah, you look at, what was the, I'm mixing up the, was it Salisa or was it, the one in Hungary where they went out, the rabbit went out in 52 and no one went with them.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, guys, are you just doing this to, is this like, are you guys in on the bit? Like, is that's what's going on? It's kind of funny at this point. I'm kind of starting to enjoy it because it's so strange what's been happening in these races.
Mystery race would be so much fun. And then like, you know, it's like you're watching poker. You know what other people's hands are, but they don't know each other's hands. And then you know, oh, he's bluffing. He's not, you know. Or you tell one runner the actual distance they're running, and no one knows who knows it. And so you're trying to, like, look at people's body language and be like, do you know the real distance? And everyone's trying to figure it out. It's like a game of Clue. I want to put the game of Clue and turn it into a track meet. That's what I want.
Yeah, that doesn't really have much to do with Clue. But the... The other part of what you said kind of made sense. Let's see. Someone asked about how Hobbs Kessler did. I mean, he got you can't read much into 1,000.
Yeah.
He got 8th, 216. That's solid, middle of the pack. And it's good experience for him to go to Monaco. I would think if you're on Team Hobbs Kessler and you have a chance to go to Monaco, like it'd be awesome to get a fast 1500 meter. Performance under your belt.
Run
now, in that reality, in that reality, then, well, that's really 331. That'd be quick. Maybe he's not able to get into that race because there's so many people who want to get in. But I just don't get in general. The men's 1500 right now is really deep. You could put together a pretty solid field with any number of guys. So that's why.
I do think the factor is that Commonwealth just happened, right? than Europeans is coming up. And a lot of the top 1500 meter runners who are in Commonwealth and Europeans, they kind of didn't want, they wanted something different. Like, we'll do a 1K. That's what I think why.
Sure, I mean, but then why did you...
Championship screw
okay,
up.
But, I mean, they still ran other events, though.
I know.
Yeah. I guess they ran a 3,000, though, and not a 5,000. Maybe that is part of it. Europeans are coming up, too. Question for Colt in the chat from Jordan. Colt, you there still?
I'm here. What's up?
Jordan wants to know, what does Colt think about the state of the economy?
Oh, it's pretty bad. I mean, I don't know what else do you want me to say. It's pretty bad.
Should the economy hydrate more?
Yeah. No Powerade, just Gatorade for the economy.
How great would it be if, like, a politician's like, we just need to hydrate. If we just hydrate, the country will come together.
I have a 3-point plan. 1, hydration. 2, hydration.
2, and 3, good footwear.
Yeah. Colt's going to be in charge of the Fed soon. It's going to be great.
That'll be great.
Ooh, boy.
Anything else in the chat or anything else you want to talk about with Monaco, Gordon?
No, it was fun meet. I enjoyed it. It's exciting when, like, you kind of go into, I was honestly going into post worlds, kind of being like, I feel like it's just not going to be exciting. I was going in with a negative attitude. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't go into things with negative attitudes. But I was, if I'm being honest. But I'm being happily surprised. You know, we're getting upsets. We're getting, like, great performances by Shelly Ann. Like, it's a mix and match. Seeing Grant Fisher break the American record, that was fucking awesome. So, like, there's just a lot of, you know, uniqueness that's happening. I'm just embracing it. Commonwealth Games was fun. Seeing that men's 1500 and the women's 800. That was cool. So, yeah. I'm excited for Europeans. I want to see a white man versus Ingebrigtsen revenge. I want to see them, like, go to the well. That's what I want.
Yeah, and you still got Lausanne. Still got the Diamond League finals. There's still a couple continental tours out there. So there's meets available if these athletes want to run fast. Lewis in the chat, can Noah Lyles break 9.3 this season? Absolutely. Absolutely he can break 9.3 this season.
You mean 19.3?
19.3, not 9.3. So don't put me on a song, Bolt. My bad.
Don't put me on a song.
My bad. Actually, do. Jordan says, thank you, Colt, for the economic advice.
I just looked at the Dow Jones. It's up 500 points today.
After Colt said that?
You're welcome.
Clearly, they've been hydrating in Wall Street right now.
Yeah. Someone asked about men's high hurdles. Yeah, we talked about men's high hurdles. I forgot when, but midway through. Tampico says, the sub pod, ? That's on Gordon. You got to get Gordon on your side.
Wait, what? It's on me?
It's on us. Friday? Friday?
Well, Friday we're doing a normal pod.
Well, I know, but after that we do the sub pod.
Yeah, let's do it Friday. Or do you want to wait?
Cold, are you available?
Yeah.
No, let's do it now. We're late.
Okay, we'll do it Friday. And should we just read all of the athletes and athlete fans who are just very upset that I have an opinion and my reaction to it?
It seems like you want to talk about this.
I got some fun emails.
Your email? Did your email address leak? How did that happen?
I mean, you can guess it. It's my name at Flow Sports. It's not hard to figure out.
You can guess it.
If you know my first and last name, you can figure it out.
Do people want to hear that on the sub pod? If so, you could do a solo. That's fine.
No. I want to hear, you know, there's been a lot of people who are tweeting like pro Kevin things. They're like, I just want everyone to know this is not towards Kevin. This is a Gordon only.
There's
situation.
Stop. There's not been a single tweet that says that.
No, you don't understand. I've looked and I've seen. We're not talking about you, Kevin. You do your best to kind of to keep Gordon in the line. So
you're doing a good job
at, you know, presenting yourself as the good guy in this situation. I'm taking all.
I don't even know. To be honest, I don't even know what the issue is. But I'm glad
you're upset about Christian Coleman not being in my top five.
Got it. Okay. Again,
you're really upset with the wordage of the tweet, but like, whatever. Use your brain. It's not that big of a deal, guys. Christian Coleman is
just great.
A great runner.
People love me.
Just not in 2022.
Interesting. So that's what you want to talk about in the sub pod again? Or we've already done that, right? You already did that?
Dude,
is this a thing that happened when I was gone? This happened when I was gone, right?
Yeah, I did it when you were gone. Okay. I was in the office the other day, and someone came into the office to visit, and the first thing he said to me is like, Gordon, I saw your Christian Coleman take. How about that? I was like, my God.
Wait, who? No, you're making
that big of a deal.
This didn't happen. Who came
in? It did happen.
Who is there a person I know?
I don't want to. You know the person, yes. You know the person.
Okay.
You don't know him personally, but you know the person.
And they're employed by?
They're not
the same company that employs?
No, we just know them. It's a colleague.
Okay.
Friend, colleague. Tell you after the pod.
If they're a colleague, okay. Never mind.
Well, colleague can mean like, you know, friend. I don't know, like,
all right,
industry colleague, industry colleague.
Okay. Well, listen. AMM says Gordon has great takes in the chat. So there you go. You have a supporter there. My thing is, here's my thing. The whole word elite is just so vague, and kind of takes on this sort of ridiculous emphasis, especially in the terms of sports talk, right? There's all these, which quarterback is elite, which not? Well, it's like, well, obviously they're all elite, right? If we talk about professional athletes, because by very definition, they're elite. You know, you do rankings all the time. I do rankings all the time. They're put in order, right? Of this is the person you believe is number one, two, and everybody can always get like mad about where they're at, but that's kind of part of discussing sports. I think you're right. It's just the way you word the stuff on the – people see a headline and they react to a headline, and then you put stuff in all caps, and it's like makes it seem more dramatic. But I think if you're saying this is a top five, this would be my order, I think people would have a different reaction. It is strange, though, like your top tier, like you have Seville, right? And I love Seville. Seville was the guy who's going to get me – because gonna win our bet, but it is like interesting that you have him up there. But
well, he got fourth. So I was like,
he did.
Yeah,
he did.
That. And
you don't have to tell me twice.
Has the unique situation that he didn't get a full honest effort because he got there late. And Omanyala beat Fred Curley this year, beat the freaking world champion. So those are my five: the top three, Seville, Omanyala. Coleman was in it until this past week. You know, so.
Well, and again, I think if it's like, hey, this is my top five right now, people react differently than if you say this person has been eliminated from, they're no longer elite. Because I think people read elite
people get
as.
Their feelings hurt too easily. Soft.
Well,
like, come on.
I'm trying to. Gordon is the epitome of hard, by the way. This guy, let me tell you, he's tough.
It's just.
It's not been that 4 weeks since he hasn't fallen off his bike. No, I. Listen.
Not that serious, guys.
No, I'm trying to understand is what I'm trying to understand here. What the cause of this issue was, if people are stopping you in buildings and wanting to talk about it. All right. Is that
this
it?
This guy.
Oh, there's
this guy's up. Yeah, he's turning into a meme.
He summarized it for you there.
I mean, the Bolt record one, he has a point on that one. I did get that one very wrong. But the other two, they're not cold takes yet. The Lane take doesn't cash until 3 years from now, and the Coleman take doesn't cash, I guess, until next 2 years or so.
Well, and he's phrasing it in you just said not in the top tier. You're not saying what he said right there.
Well, I used the word remove, and people don't like that word, remove. But I did. I removed him from my top tier. He's in the B tier now.
Like, are you going to do tiers for everybody?
Yeah, maybe we'll do a tier podcast. I'll do tiers at the end of the track season. I'll be like, these are the tiers.
Here's
three
my,
tiers. Okay. Yeah.
I've explained my issue with the word elite. My issue with tiers, especially in track and field, is they run the race. You can see them compete against each other. right? So it's not that hard to figure out the tiers.
But it is hard in certain events where, like the 800, where the tiers change constantly.
Okay, that's the 800 this year. No, but on the women's side, it'd be easy. In the women's side, you have a very clear top tier. In most events, you could organize it like who can win gold, who could get a medal, and who can make a final. That's how you could break it down, right? And if you break it down that way, it's pretty clear at the end of the season who's in what tier because you literally had the race. You don't have to guess. Tiers are preseason. That's fine. Or the one meet in when someone hasn't shown up yet, or maybe they've run an off event. That's different. But like, we don't, in track, you don't really need to do that as much because they're literally run the race and compete against each other. So it's like, do Bromell and Bracey belong in the same tier? Absolutely. Because the last three times they've raced, they've been separated by a fraction of a second. Like, that is not hard to figure out, right? You don't need to guess. There's nothing controversial there. Well, like in team sports, when a team from the AFC hasn't played a team from the NFC, right? Or you're ranking quarterbacks, and there's all sorts of variables because they don't all have the same receivers or offensive line, then it might be different. But they're literally lining up next to each other and racing against each other. And if they're not racing against each other and you're just guessing, then it's like, well, let's just not even worry about that person yet because we don't have any results from them. They need to show up and run. That's my thought on tiers.
That was a great TED talk. It was a great tier talk. I appreciate it. Is that the podcast?
All right. I've been ignoring the chat because I flipped over the chat and someone says, Gordon and Kevin are ignoring us. They could weigh in on the soundness of the male-female 110-meter exhibition idea. I'm not seeing what it is because I was just doing my TED talk about tears, and now I can't find it.
We need like a full-time chat reader who can like tell us what's going on.
Okay, here it is.
I want to give you eye contact, Kevin. Yeah.
Here's Ian. Diamond League should organize a 110-meter for men and women for us to see whether they can break sub 10 and sub 11 respectively. Okay. What? That's what it is.
110.
Like just a completely new race.
Like a 110 flat and see if they can break 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And then
they can break 11. I think that's what it is.
Got it. Oh, yeah, that'll be kind of cool. Just like extend yourself and make it just, you got to break this solid 10.00 or 11.00. That'll be cool.
Round numbers sell. Round numbers sell.
Round numbers do sell. Yeah. That's true. Sub 2 marathon, sub 4 mile, sub 2 minute 800. Mm-hmm. It sells. Sub 10.
Yep.
But now sub 10 means nothing because everyone can do it. So let's make it harder to do.
Yeah.
I'll watch Fred Curley run a 110 flat to see if he could break 10 seconds. I'd watch that for sure.
Be cool to see who really shines that last 10 and who falls apart.
There's who can shine in the last 10. That's the motto or the tag. All right. This podcast is off the rails.
It's like 100. This has been across.
What if they get to 80? What if they get to 80 meters and then they tell them how much longer the race is?
If it's like a 110 or 125.
The tagline should be, it's like the 100, but longer. That would sell tickets. Ooh. Yeah.
It's like the 100.
You guys heard of the 110? It's this new thing. It's all the talk.
You call it the sub-10 challenge, I guess, is what they would be. Yeah, sub-10 challenge or something.
Yeah, I like it.
All right. We'll workshop it. Thanks for listening.
All right, we'll
subscribe. Yeah. Tell your friends about it. We'll see you guys Friday morning, 9 a.m. Until then.
Thanks, Colt.